I'm so ready for the year of the snake to leave Mia the fuck alone. Tell your mom she was right.
That's rude.
I'm so over this year. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we have a very special mini episode for you guys
It's just
today.
your baby.
It's just a little one. We're very excited about it.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Karen. And I think this week we're both from the Crucible Games.
Yes.
It's very scary right now for us, guys. It's a very scary
Hades is
time.
there though, so it's fine.
In our timeline, it is October 16th, and in y'all's timeline, it's Halloween. It's Halloween.
Spooky.
I love that.
So our
And
season has ended, but we're here.
we're here. We just got this very special interview for y'all, and then we're gonna sleep for several
We're gonna
months.
peace out until January.
We're just gonna
Yeah.
chill. But this first. That sound means we have an intruder
An
alert.
intruder.
Or a repeat
A
offender.
repeat intruder, yeah.
Yeah, so we have Abigail Owen back to talk about the Things Gods Break. It's so pretty.
Surprise,
Oh my gosh, welcome back, Abigail. Thank you so much for being here.
you can't keep me away. I just keep sneaking in here.
we
We
don't
love
want
it.
to. We don't
We
want to
love
keep you
it.
away.
Stay. Come back. All right, so it's a sequel, so I don't know if you have like an elevator pitch you can give for this book without spoiling things, or if you want to just go over the series as a whole, whatever is easiest for you.
I'll give a series with a small spoilery hint at book two, but the whole book two is the whole thing's a spoiler. Like I've had so much trouble talking to people about it because I'm like, I can't tell you, I can't tell you that either. I can't tell you that. Like,
He's like, I don't know.
sequels are hard.
But the series is the Crucible series. It will be a trilogy, so just a heads up, there is a cliffhanger at the end of book two as well as book one. The whole premise starts with a couple thousand years ago, the gods kicked Zeus off the throne because they got sick of him being the king of the gods. It kicked off a war among the gods that eventually leveled Olympus, and that devastated them so much that they instituted something called the Crucible Games, which is every 100 years, the 12 main gods of the pantheon pick mortal champions to fight in a series of trials. And the champion who wins the most trials, their god or goddess, then becomes the king or queen of the gods for the next 100 years. And Hades has never participated in this because why would he bother? He's already the king of the underworld. But this time around, he does, and he chooses our champion Lyra Cures, for reasons of his own, and shenanigans ensue from there. I will say, with book one, we do resolve the Crucible Games, and yes, there is a love story in there that also has sort of a happy for now. And then I dump you off a cliff that ends with Lyra stuck in Tartarus and Hades not in Tartarus, and that's where book two takes off.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, so Lyra's stuck in Tartarus, and her only way out is it feels like the quarter quell to me, where like Katniss is fine, everything's good, they made it out, and then it's like, but you gotta go back,
Gotta do it again.
you gotta
Yes.
do more. Why do you hate her?
Oh, it's not me,
No.
it's the
But also, what's it like coming up with new and creative ways to torture her?
I think maybe that's one of the most fun parts about being a writer, is just being like, what else can I throw at these poor people? And especially with book two, you find out that it's not just Lyra, but poor Hades. Like that poor god has been put through a ringer that we just don't even know. Like it's still like you don't know what's going on underneath.
Yeah,
Oh.
it's oh gosh, I can't. It's so hard to talk about book two because the whole, like you said, the whole thing's kind of a
Yeah, the whole
spoiler.
thing is just.
So I will say book two does have dual POV, in a very interesting way. Did you go into it knowing that you were going to write it in this way? And what was it like kind of getting inside Hades' mind as well as Lyra's?
So I didn't initially, and in fact, the first draft that I turned in was still just Lyra's point of view. And right after I finished it, I called up my editor and I said, "You know, I think I want to do a book in between books two and three that is books one and two from Hades' point of view." And for various different reasons, she was like, "I don't know that that's a great idea." Da, 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 da. And this is before she's read the draft, so she's not quite sure how it goes. And that should have been my clue. And the second she read the draft, she nailed exactly what was missing. And it was exactly that. We were missing Hades' voice and his experience of all of this. And so that's when in edits I went back through and changed very strategic scenes to Hades' point of view, as well as adding in some new ones, more in the current day. And I loved it. I like my gut instinct was telling me I needed it. I just, incorrectly decided I needed a whole new book rather than just adjusting scenes. For me, that actually made the book 1,000 times more impactful in terms of his story and how he has experienced their romance. That really turned it around for me. I was like, this is exactly what I was missing and why I thought that I needed a whole nother book. I didn't, I just needed him.
It really changes the story. Once we get those POV chapters, I think, and it's wild how much it changes it.
It's my favorite edit that I've ever
It's
gotten.
great.
And is a little bit part of the reason why we ended up having to bump the book an extra month was it was to give me time to add more Hades, which I was like, okay, if we have to bump the book, that's a decent reason.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Out of all of the reasons that one could have.
Yeah, give
Yeah.
us more Hades.
More
Oh
Hades.
no,
Okay,
how
we can wait.
terrible.
We can wait 1 month for more
Please
Hades.
don't give us more Hades. No.
Oh,
So the
gosh.
Greek pantheon has so many intricacies and like differences of historical opinion as on the stories themselves, and then you've put your own spin on a lot of the myths and the mythology. How do you keep track of all of those little nuances to make sure you're consistent while writing?
That's actually a really good question because I have the Greek myths so solidly in my head. It's a mythology that I'm very, very familiar with. To me, it's the same way that I keep track of. I've written 50 books at this point with, I can't remember how many series, a lot of series. And so keeping track of all those worlds, they're real to me. The worlds are real to me. The characters are completely real to me, and I think that helps. I also have ADHD, so I take copious notes, and that's my coping mechanism. And so I just have notes upon notes upon notes. I also tend to keep the final drafts of the previous books open so that I can do searches to make sure that I have found things. I do a lot of listening to the audiobooks afterwards to make sure that I'm getting all the details right. And so like I'll finish the first draft and the next thing I do is I listen to the audiobook of the previous book.
That has to be such a surreal experience, like to listen to your book's audiobook.
I didn't used to be able to, I couldn't do it for the longest time because I would just be like, my words, that's like, I gotta fix that, like, twitch. But especially starting with my Liar's Crown series, I started doing the audiobooks in order to just help me with continuity. And it helped so much that I was like, okay, I can turn off my editor if it's gonna help this much. So, yeah.
Very cool.
That's very cool. So I imagine that there was some sort of like, kind of murder board with lots of strings leading to many different things because of the way that this book had to go down. In addition to keeping straight kind of the world you've built, how are you keeping straight timelines and things?
That tried to kill my brain, I'll be honest. That was the most challenging thing I've ever done as a writer. In the end, I ended up being incredibly happy with how it turned out and how I got there. But for about 6 months, all of my closest writer friends can tell you that I was basically just like, if I ever say the words time travel again, slap me. Like, don't let me do it. Like, tie my wrist. Like, don't let me do it. Because it's such a complicated element to add into your timeline. And what I ended up having to do is, so I am generally a linear writer. I write beginning to end. It's rare that I skip. I will skip if I'm like really struggling with the scene, but I can see another one real well. Like I'll skip if I'm just trying to get in words, but for the most part, I write it linearly. I started doing that with this book and it did not work because I had general ideas of what was going to happen in certain moments. But I'm an odd combination of I plot heavily, but I'm also a discovery writer. So like I change my plot as I go while they're telling me exactly what should happen. So I only had certain elements in my head and I couldn't remember like what she knew, what she didn't know, what's been revealed to who. That was just a nightmare. And so what I ended up doing was going, okay, you know what? I'm going to pull out all the time travel elements, write them chronologically, and then put what happens on them on index cards, mix them all up in the order that I wanted things revealed to her, put that into a document in that order, and then write all the connecting scenes in between.
Oh,
That seems so difficult. It was
yeah.
You're right. Never do that again to
Don't do
yourself.
that. Did
It
you
was
know
We're
going
glad you did
like
it, but
did you know like when you started the series that you were gonna have that?
not when I started the series. So when I started the series, for the very first time, I've always started series where I know exactly what's going to be the major parts of each book in the series. With games, I had no idea. I had the initial premise, trials and Greek gods. That's all I knew. And so I was like, I'm just going to play with that and have fun. And I will figure out books two and three when I get to them. And so I wrote the entire book of book one. And then I wrote that epilogue and I went, oh, I know what I'm going to do. Because my initial thought after I stuck her in Tartarus was, how the heck am I going to continue a romance with Hades if they're separated for a good chunk of the book? Like that's almost meh. And I was like, ooh, wait, Kronos. Titan of time, we're going to do something with time in a way that allows us to continue the relationship element. And that was all I had in my head when I started book two, was I knew I was going to have time element. I knew it was going to be Hades' love story. Then I was like, okay, now what? But and I will say what helped a lot with that was that as soon as I got that idea, as I'm turning in my manuscript to my editor, I was like, this is my idea for book two. And she was like, I love it. Let's do it. And so when we were going through edits together, we made sure that we put in little Easter eggs and also noted which scenes we wanted to tie back to book two, so that it was all cohesive. So I already had that all written out of like, I need to tie to this scene, to this scene, to this scene. But then from there, it had to be like, okay, what else? What else?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I picture that meme of the guy from, is it Sunny in Philadelphia? Is that the show where he's like looking at
I
all
think
the
so, with all the
oh
red strings and
my
connecting
God.
all those things. Yeah.
Yeah. It was I still have the index cards because I was like, I'm holding on to these. These are fun. I
You're
can
like, you
never
never
get rid
know.
of
I might have
these.
to go back to
I have to go back.
that.
What were my scenes again? Yeah.
Do you have a favorite god or goddess?
I do. I mean, other than Hades, I think who will always be the love of my life. Sorry, husband. Aphrodite is my favorite. Particularly after writing her in book two. If you had asked me before, or book one, if you'd asked me before I'd started book one, I probably would have said Athena. I love the fact that she's a mix of both wisdom and war. Like I find that fascinating in the form of a woman in ancient times. Like that is fascinating to me, and I
Perfect,
think that's
yeah.
really cool. But once Aphrodite stepped onto the page, I was like, I love this goddess. Like she's so much fun. And also just the fact that I think, for me at least, I put an element to her that was working out my own beef with how the romance genre is kind of perceived and treated in the world as fluff or porn for women or whatever, disparaging thing that you want to say about it when it's 50% of the book market written by incredibly intelligent people. Like I don't know what to tell you. And so that all kind of went into Aphrodite.
Yeah. And she
I can
has
feel
like
that.
a
Yeah.
moment in there where you like you're looking at it and you're like,
Wait a minute, you.
you,
Yeah.
you, you.
Yeah. Well, and when you think about it, because with love, and I say this in book one, where it's basically like, yeah, love seems fluffy and soft until you realize that you can also rip somebody apart with it. Like it can be it's a double-edged sword, and so
It's messy and raw and
raw. It's also integral to connection as humans, and so I don't know why we think of that as a solely feminine, solely fluffy
cutie
thing.
parts and
Right. Yeah.
clouds and
I mean, we see what happens when, in book two specifically, we see what happens if somebody you love is out of your reach,
yeah.
and you've got the kind of powers that some of these people have.
You're like, old.
You're like, oh boy, oh boy. Is there a particular scene that you found either was really fun to write or was really difficult to write?
Good questions. I probably my most fun scenes in general are always the scenes with Hades and Lyra together. I would say that maybe my favorite scene was the basically, without giving too much away, it's the first time he truly starts to fall for her when she takes his hand. It was that moment that really solidified that for me. And so writing that was just like this sweet,
Yeah.
precious thing.
Like
And
in the midst of all the chaos going on, you've got this little bit of sweetness.
So there's that moment, and then there's a moment at the very end when she's trying to bring him out of his wrath. When she's basically on her knees in front of him. That one was just fun to write. So yeah, usually it's them. I also really liked, I added a found family element to this story, which was also in book one in a very different way. And I love found family. I am a big fan of the there are people who are put in your life that you just bond with. And that's a beautiful thing. And so I adding that element was also a lot of fun and kind of heartbreaking.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of mean.
Yeah, just a little. My personal assistants are both like, we think that you might be a serial killer and you're just working it out on the page. And I was like, I do kind of like to kill characters.
Give them a little healthy fear, be like, maybe I am.
You know what?
Listen.
If George R.R. Martin gave all of us permission to kill anybody.
Yeah. That
And I
is
was
very, very true.
like, well, if I kill anybody, like.
I mean, at least you're only doing it in books and not in real life. Like,
Exactly.
it could be worse.
It could be way worse.
But nobody cross Abigail, 'cause
Yeah.
she can kill you.
I might write you a
Speaking
book and
of,
then kill you, but yeah.
yeah, exactly. Speaking of heartbreak a little bit, this is kind of a fun one though, but if Lyra could come up with a game to put the gods through, what do you think she would do?
I haven't thought about this in detail yet, but I can tell you that in book three, something like that might happen.
Oh my God. Okay,
I
that's exciting. She needs
love.
some vengeance
Yeah.
on everything
Girl,
she's
girl's
gone
gone
through.
through it. Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of book three, do we get kind of any kind of visit from either of these two found families from the past couple books?
So with book three, we will see all of the characters combined. We're gonna see a world with where she's balancing all of them,
And Lyra may be getting a little revenge.
and there might be some revenge
The poor
and
girl.
other
She's
things.
gone through it.
Well, and Hades is gonna go through more of it. Sorry, Hades. That's just, it's fair, right?
It's the
Exactly.
nature of
But for so like I haven't come up with what her game might be. Knowing her, it's going to be one that's going to hit deep, I think, because she's such a. I don't think it's going to be one that's going to kill anybody off. I think it's going to hurt them in the heart, because that's
Yeah.
how she is. She's
I
like, oh
think
no,
she's,
we
yeah,
don't murder, we
she's,
just take your heart
yeah.
from your
She's really good at like getting to the heart of people, I feel like. Like she sees people, and people who are able to do that are the most
You know
dangerous.
what your
Yeah.
weakness is? Exactly. Yeah.
She's like, I'm gonna make you steal the heart of the person you love the most. She's also a thief. Like you have
Yeah.
to take it from their chest.
Oh, there's
Oh.
gonna be something. Yeah, so I'm gonna have a lot of fun with. I don't think
I
it's gonna
bet.
be.
That maniacal laugh. Oh my goodness. Okay, we want to keep you forever, but we promised we wouldn't. But we do have several questions that we always ask. We've
Yep.
done this before. So first one being, we have a segment on the podcast we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we choose a fictional character that week, movies, TV, what books. And that is our fictional character. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny. I've had a fictional son. We've had fictional pets. Do you have a fictional character where you're like, that is mine?
Oh, that's a good question. For me, it's probably all of my murder pets. I like Cerberus is one of them, but I've written murder pets in multiple books at this point. I was like, I don't know why this became a thing that I do frequently, but apparently I do. And so I had a German Shepherd. He was a 100-pound beast of a German Shepherd, and he really would have taken somebody's throat out if I'd ever let him near other humans. Like, he was a squish with me, he was murdered pet with everybody else. And so
Oh,
I think that I write him into a lot of my books. So for me,
sweet
Cerberus
baby.
is my murder pet.
I
I love
love,
that.
and I love Cerberus is so. I love that he's got like three distinct personalities for
And
each
voices, and the,
and
I was listening to the
voices. Yeah.
audiobook of
Yeah.
book one.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah. So it's, I love that. Okay. So the other question we always ask is obviously, we know we love your books and we are recommending those, but we'd love to know, what are you reading and recommending?
So right now I've just finished Ship of Spells, which is another Red Tower title that's coming out. I got an early look at it, and I devoured it. It the world building and the magic system that she puts into this is just fantastic. And I also loved the main character is really rough and just hard, like she's been hardened by life. But that experience, I think, informs everything that she does in like such a cool way. So like, look forward to that one. I really, really enjoyed that one.
Yay, that
We, I
makes,
think we
yeah.
have it. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it some, I thought it was on my shelf right there, but it moved. But
It
yeah.
starts off with a bang and then you just can't put it down. So.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for that one. All right. Last question. What comes next? I mean, we know we're getting a book three, but like, are you working on anything else? Anything you can tell us?
I am. So I'm working on book three at the moment, along with so I just turned in book one on a brand new series that I can't say anything about yet because it's not announced. And I'm working on book one of another series concurrently with writing book three. So yeah, two new series and book three in this one. And then I want to do spin-offs with games. I've already got characters in my head that I want to spin off from there. So I've got a lot on my plate.
I'm so excited. That sounds really,
Thrilled.
really exciting. And of course, that leads us right into reminding you that now that you're on the podcast, you have to, you're legally obligated to come back for the other ones, you know?
Of
So,
course, that was fun.
we'll talk soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, oh my gosh.
Hopefully we'll have announcements soon. I don't they wait until we have covers to do announcements usually,
Which is
and I think
fair.
they're still figuring out dates of like what order they want things to come out in.
Either
We
way,
can
we're.
wait. We don't
Yeah,
want to, but we
we will, I
can.
guess. I suppose we will.
It's fun. I'm having a lot of fun with book three, I gotta tell you. Like it's wrapping all the things up, but I set up enough things that I was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah, well, and you're like a chronic series writer. Like, it must be so nice to get to the end of a series and just tie it all together.
It really is. Although I will say that I find the series where it's the same couple over multiple books to be a little harder, just because it's the romance piece of it and trying to keep that romantic tension that you always have in book one. But like once they're together, it's hard to keep it up
Yeah.
in a way
Right.
that's like not not just, pulling them apart in ways that where you're like, this is you're too stupid to live then to get back together because like, how many times can we pull you apart? So that's the hardest part for me is in writing a series. It's one of the reasons why probably if I do a spin-off, I'm gonna want to do different romantic leads for each book with an overarching plot.
Still love that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled with that. I love
I'm okay
that.
with all of it. All right, well, when this episode comes out, The Games Gods Break will be out. It's beautiful, it's gorgeous. It's gonna look so nice next to book one.
Isn't it gonna be so? They're so pretty together, and we're announcing book three. I think in November is when we're gonna officially announce book three, and then you're gonna get to see that one, that cover. So,
That's so exciting. You don't have to tell me, but is it gonna be purple? Yes,
it's
I knew it. I was like,
Yes, it is.
I don't know, but like, I just have a feeling.
We debated, so they asked me what about colors and like what weapons on the cover and that kind of thing, and I was like purple or green. And the reason I said those two colors is because I asked a color wheel. I was like, let's research color wheel and see what goes with blue and orange. And I was like, oh, purple and green. And they're like, well, we have several green titles coming in 2026, so let's go purple.
Less glamorous side of publishing, right?
Right, where you're like, what
All
is
the
this
boring
about
stuff,
me? Yeah, oh
which is
yeah, but
also fun, but like
oh,
we're
and the
picking a
weapons
color.
that they came up with for it are ones that I've never seen quite like that before. And so I'm really, I was already like, oh, so many ideas. This is definitely getting written into the book in some way. Yeah, so I'm excited about that too.
That's
That is
exciting.
so exciting.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Abigail, for coming back and hanging out with us. Everybody, go pick up the books. They're phenomenal.
Now, do it
Now, do
now.
it now. Do it
Oh,
now.
thank you guys. And thanks for having me back on. And yes, I would love to come back. Yes.
Always.
Always,
Always. We're always here. We're waiting
Yeah,
whenever it happens.
we'll catch you on the next one.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
I love her.
Love her so much.
She's
I
so
do.
fun.
I love her.
I her
This,
brain is crazy, man,
yes.
because trying to keep oh.
And something that made me like internally giggle, she says, like Hozier. And that is like the highest compliment I could give somebody too. Yeah, she's always fun to have on the podcast. Yay. All right. You want to do a spiel? George Bailey said he'll
I
help.
think, yeah, I think Georgie wants to help.
You want to help, Bubba? You can give the spiel? Do it. Say something.
It, Georgie. His little ear popped up. That was cute. All right. If y'all enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all of the things. Visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog. Head to Patreon to subscribe for early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, and bonus contents.
George Bailey's face.
The best kind of bonus content, George Bailey's face. It is holiday shopping season right now, so
Yeah.
head to the merch store, theincoherentfangirl.com/shop, and get some cute stuff for yourself and the people in your lives.
Yeah, do that.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of that in our inbox, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Yes.
And of course, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us all of the words.
We love your words.
We're big fans of words. She is at Mandy Perv, and he's Mr. George Bailey.
Yeah. And she's at Miss Made in China.
And once you followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head over and continue that holiday shopping and visit our internet besties. First stop, you're going to go to herecomesanerd.com and add all the cute artsy pins and all that good stuff into your cart. Use code FANGIRL and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. You can subscribe. You can buy random unsold boxes. You can buy random goodies. And you'll use code KAREN10 for 10% off. But you have to spell Karen right, or we're going to throw you in the Crucible Games.
Yeah, they're hard. You don't want to
Yeah,
do
I
that.
wouldn't want to be there.
No, it's scary. It's
I
scary.
wouldn't want to be there at
Don't do
all.
that. Don't do that. Okay, and then you're gonna visit our bestie Amber D. Lewis at amberdlewis.com. Add 10 of everything to your cart. Use code FANGIRL10 and you'll get 10% off the 10 of everything. And you've gotten one of everything for free. You've shopped for yourself. You've
You
done
are
self-care.
welcome.
Self-care and your holiday shopping's done.
You're
It's just
welcome.
smart. Good job. I'm so proud of you.
And last but not least, you can support my family. Keep George Bailey fed, okay? He's hungry. I can start playing In the Arms of the Angels. He's doing without. Look at this face. Can't you tell? He's
Yes,
miserable.
he's very struggling.
So you can support the show husband. He's at Borna Josh on all the things. You can support his paranormal investigation group by following at Searchers Believe on all the things. You can go to searchersbelieve.com/shop. There's more merch designed by yours truly, and they have tickets to some Searchers events coming up next year. They're going on a little bit of a tour across the country doing events with ghost hunters and the paranormal minded in 2026. And if you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off. You can follow Searchers Podcast on all the things. That's the podcast Josh, our friend Shane, and I do, where we talk about all spooky things. And last but certainly not least, you'll follow at Stream Beacon TV on all the things. It is our, I always struggle to find the word streaming platform, and I don't know why. It's our streaming platform that's paranormal, horror, true crime content, paranormal mysteries. Season finale is tonight when you're listening. And there are more exciting things coming with paranormal mysteries and with other series. So you definitely want to be subscribed. If you go to streambeacontv.com and subscribe using FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your subscription. It's like $5 a month to subscribe, even without a discount. So it's super cheap, but a lot of good content. So you can do that.
Yay.
And then you can buy my book. It's The Living and the Dead. It's I've been shortening it. I'm glad you have a copy close by because I don't. They're all the way over on my desk.
I never moved them from when I opened my box.
It's about a girl who was born a ghost and the Reaper who would die to get her to look at him. And I think it's a good time. A lot of people don't think it's a good time because of the ending, but
Well, you were pretty mean. New York Times bestselling author Hannah Nicole Mayer says you're pretty mean with that
well, I
ending.
didn't want to be, but that's how it
So.
happened. More to come. More to come on book two. So yeah, you can go to aepurvis.com/shop, and if you use code Aaron Warner, you'll get 10% off because it wouldn't be me if I didn't make something about Aaron Warner at every turn. So
Yeah, it's kind of a requirement.
yeah, that's just who I am.
Otherwise, have you been body snatched?
Probably.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And
And
that
that was the
was the
Incoherent
Incoherent
Fan Girl.
Fangirl.
Thanks
Thank
for listening. We love
you. We love
you.
you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at HereComesTheNerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.